Let's hear God's word as I read in Jesus' name from Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. And on it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or your daughter or your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. For 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, would you be our teacher this morning? Our Lord Jesus said that we would be given the Holy Spirit, the Counselor, the Spirit of truth, who would guide us into all truth. And so we look to you to guide us into this truth, and not just to know it in our brains, in our minds, but Father, to receive it into our hearts, and by your grace, by your help, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to live it out in our lives. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. It is a scientific fact that we all need rest. Our brains need a rest. Our bodies need to rest. Our soul needs rest. That is, you know, our mind, our will, our emotions, what the Bible identifies in the Greek language, psyche, which is, we get the word psychology, the study of the soul. We need rest. And without it, we make mistakes. Accidents happen, lives are lost because we keep pressing ourselves to do more and more, and we don't avail ourselves a rest. Even in the secular world, maybe even more today in the secular world has taken an interest in, has taken notice of this fact that we need rest. One article that I ran across recently, it was titled, The Lost Practice of Resting One Day Each Week. The Lost Practice of Resting One Day Each Week. In it, Joshua Becker writes this. Ask any physician and they will tell you rest is essential for physical health. When the body is deprived of sleep, it is unable to rebuild and recharge itself adequately. The body requires rest. Ask any athlete. And they will tell you rest is essential for physical training. Rest is needed for muscles to repair themselves and to prevent injury. This is true whether you run marathons, pitch baseballs, climb rocks. Your muscles require rest. Ask many of yesterday's philosophers, that is the ancient wisdom of long ago, and they will tell you rest is essential for the mind. Leonardo da Vinci, a genius, said, every now and then go away, have a little relaxation, for when you come back to your work, your judgment will be better. Ovid, the Roman poet, said, take rest. A field that has rested gives a bountiful crop. Your mind needs rest. Ask most religious leaders, he goes on to write, and they will tell you that rest is essential for the soul. Judaism, Christianity, and other religions teach the importance of setting aside a period of time for rest. Your soul requires rest. Ask many corporate leaders, and they will tell you that rest is essential for productivity. Forbes magazine recently wrote, you can only work so hard and do so much in a day. Everybody needs to rest and recharge. Your productivity requires rest. Physicians, athletes, philosophers, poets, religious leaders, and even corporate leaders all tell us the same thing. Take time to rest. It's absolutely essential for a balanced, healthy life. Yet when you ask people in today's frenzied culture if they intentionally set aside time for rest, most will tell you that they are just too busy. Even fewer would say that they set aside any concentrated time, that is a 12 or 24 hour block of time, for rest. There are just too many things to get done, too many demands, too many responsibilities, too many bills, too much urgency. No one can afford to waste time resting in today's results-oriented world. We're just too busy. Unfortunately, this hectic pace is causing damage to our quality of life. We are destroying every sense of our being, body, mind, and soul. There is a reason we run faster and work harder, but only fall farther behind. Our lives have become too full and too out of balance. Somewhere along the way, we lost the essential practice of concentrated rest. And I think also of consecrated rest. I think that was a Freudian slip there. Somewhere along the way, we lost the essential practice of concentrated rest. Now I see I've already put some of you to sleep. You're getting some rest here already. Good for you. That's the secular world saying we need to rest. In our passage today, we learn that God has given us a time for rest. We need rest from our work. We need rest from our worries. We need rest from our weariness, the burdens of each day, the crushing load of our duties. But in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 23, it tells us that oftentimes the rest that we are seeking eludes us. Listen to this. See if this is true for you. All his days, his work is pain and grief. Even at night, his mind does not rest. This too is meaninglessness. Or Ecclesiastes 4:6. One hand full of rest is better than two fists full of labor in striving after the wind. Oh, we can grab hold of that, can't we? One handful of rest is better than two fistfuls of labor in striving after the wind. God himself longs to give us rest. God gives the promise of rest. In Jeremiah 31:2, it says, "This is what the Lord says. The people who survive the sword will find favor in the desert. I will come to give rest to Israel." He said, even in the worst situation that they find themselves in because they were disobedient to God, he still gives a promise of rest. He says, I'm going to come out to you in the desert and give you rest. The place of dryness, the place of desolation. Or Jeremiah 50, verse 34 says, yet their Redeemer is strong. The Lord Almighty is his name. He will vigorously defend their cause so that he may bring rest to their land. God gives a promise of his rest. He wants to give his people rest. But Jeremiah 6:16 gives us another side of that. It says, this is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it. Remember Psalm 23? For he leads us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Those are the ancient paths. Those are the good way. Walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. God gives us a way and wants to lead us in that way to find rest, just like David said in Psalm 23, that he leads me in paths of righteousness. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. That's what God wants to give, but listen to how this verse ends. Jeremiah says, and you will find rest for your souls, but you said, I will not walk in it. I'm not going to walk in God's ways. I don't want that rest. Or Isaiah 28, verses 11 and 12, it says, God will speak to his people to whom he said, this is the resting place, let the weary rest, and this is the place of repose. But they would not listen. Or Isaiah 30:15. This is what the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says. In repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength, but you would have none of it. God is just reaching out and saying, I want to give you this rest that you so desperately need, and yet you reject it. And in so the same measure, we too so often reject the real rest that God wants to give us. The title of this message is The Gift of Sabbath, or The Gift of the Sabbath, meaning the Sabbath day that God gave us for our rest. The Gift of Sabbath. And the word Sabbath itself means rest, and the rest of the message isn't going to make sense unless you get a hold of that. The word Sabbath means rest. And it says that God rested on the seventh day, and therefore the Lord blessed the seventh day and made it holy. God knew that we needed rest. But here's the part we so often miss. Rest is not just quitting our work. Rest is something that entails our whole being, our body, our soul, our spirit. Our whole being needs to find that rest. And God says not just that this is a time set aside to quit our work, but He blessed that day and made it holy. So what does holy mean? I've got some places in your handout to write some of these things down. Holy means set apart for God. It's something that is dedicated for God, for His exclusive use. And God wants to set aside part of our week, at least in the Old Testament command given to Israel, set aside part of that week and dedicate it to Him that we might find replenishment and rest and renewal from our work, from our worries, from our weariness, and find it in Him. The gift of Sabbath, the gift of rest, is the gift of God Himself. And if we don't get hold of or avail ourselves of God Himself and make it holy, that means make it a time consecrated, dedicated, given fully to God, we're not going to find the rest that really replenishes us. We're always going to be striving after the wind, so to speak. We're always going to be, even at night in our sleep, we're still, our minds aren't going to rest. We're not going to have a restfulness of our souls. God gives us a rest that the world cannot give. The world seeks this, but it's not going to find what they're seeking for because they rejected the one who gives the gift of Sabbath, who gives the gift of rest itself. And so, in your handout there, we've established that need for rest. I think you all know that. Scientifically, we have it. Spiritually, we know we need rest. There's God's promise of rest, but also our refusal, kind of keeping God stiff-armed out there. So, oh, that's all right. I'll do that tomorrow. I'll rest another time. We talked about the meaning of that Sabbath, that it is, the Sabbath means rest, but it is a Sabbath holy to God, meaning we give that time and dedicate it to God because God Himself is our Sabbath. But here in the New Testament, we find something even more for Christians. For Christians, the Sabbath is not a day. It's a person. The Sabbath, the seventh day of creation, was Saturday. In Spanish, Sabaoth. Do I have that right? Say that for me. And it's more like Sabbath. In Spanish, you get more. Saturday is just, that's a pagan named after the god of Saturn. You know, that's not that doesn't mean much. We have to use Spanish here for that. But that's Saturday, and that was the day that God gave for His people to take a time, a day of physical rest, but more than that, a day of worship of Him, dedicating it to God. The Jewish people were very, in Jesus' day, were very studious about making sure that they did everything according to the law, because part of the law said, don't do any work on the Sabbath on pain of death. It was something God took seriously in the Old Testament. And the Jewish people were always trying to catch Jesus at doing something that, no, you're not supposed to do that on the Sabbath. And Jesus said, no, I'm Lord of the Sabbath. I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. And anyway, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. You've gotten this all turned around. This is a gift from God, not another duty to pile on. And for the Jewish people in Jesus' day, the law was considered this yoke this heavy burden that they had. And there's two images of yokes. You know, we're not talking about, you know, the middle of an egg, right? Your kids maybe think that. But a yoke is something we don't have now because we're not farming with horses. But you remember back when you had the harness on the horses and you pulled the plow behind it. In Jesus' day, it was made out of wood, and it was fashioned just very carefully and made just for the animal, and it formed a harness by which they could pull a substantial weight. Or you could make a yoke, a wooden piece that goes across your shoulders that will help you carry heavy burdens, water or bricks or other building materials. And so you had this yoke made out of wood. And, you know, I'm thinking that Jesus worked in his father's carpentry shop. I bet his dad made a lot of yokes, right? Handmade, custom-made, just for that animal, just for whatever purpose, that person. And, you know, well, is it chafing you in this place? Well, let's bring it in and smooth it out a little bit. Or is it not quite fitting right for the animals to pull those burdens? And oftentimes a yoke was for a team of oxen, two oxen or two donkeys or two of other animals to pull that yoke along, and they had to make it so they could pull together. Okay, that's that picture of yoke. But in the New Testament, Jesus says this, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. I will be your Sabbath." Really, it's not the word for Sabbath here, but remember, Sabbath means rest. "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." In the New Testament and in Jewish times, they considered the law a yoke. In fact, in the book of Acts, it was James who said, you know, "We haven't been able to carry the burden of this yoke of the law. You know, why should we place it upon the Gentiles to keep it? We haven't been able to do it." And the fact is that Jesus has become our Sabbath because he has fulfilled the law in our place. And he's taken off the old yoke of do this and don't do that. And he's put on a new yoke, a yoke of saying, submit to me, come to me, take my yoke upon you, which is literally to come in submission to me, dedicate your life to me, come to me, learn from me, and I will give you rest. It is in Jesus Christ that we have our true rest. It's in Jesus Christ that our burdens are lifted off. And it doesn't keep us from being yoked any longer, but his yoke is easy and his burden is light. And the word easy can mean comfortable. Not, I don't want to use the word comfortable. I don't think that Jesus necessarily, but it doesn't rub us in the wrong ways. It's made just for us, and we're doing this with Christ, and he's bearing the burdens for us. He's the one who daily bears our burdens, as it says in the Psalms. And we cast all our care upon him because he cares for us. All of that is right here in this verse. "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened," burdened by sin, burdened by this need for performance that we gotta somehow make ourselves acceptable to God. "Come to me, all you who are weary of trying and trying and trying and failing and failing and failing. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. Come, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you." Not the old yoke of legalism, of the law, but the yoke of his grace, of his love, of his compassion for us. "Learn of me. Learn about my humility. Come and quit striving. And just come and work with me. Let me be right there beside you." Hudson Taylor, great missionary to China. Great missionary to China. Strived and strived and strived to try to have enough faith because God used him in amazing ways. And he always was trying to, if I could just have more faith, if I could just trust God for bigger things. And finally, he learned the real lesson of trusting God for bigger things. And it was through a letter from another missionary who says, "I found that secret. I found the secret of having enough faith. And enough faith is simply to be resting in the faithful one, the one in whom I have the faith in. It's not the strength of my faith, it's the strength of the one who is faithful. And I learned just to rest in Jesus. to find his rest. I don't have to strive after this. I need to rest in Jesus. Martin Luther would say this, "The Sabbath was a sign pointing to Jesus, who is our rest. Since Jesus came as Savior and Lord, God no longer requires us to observe the Sabbath day and other holy days of the Old Testament. We keep this commandment by respecting God's word and setting aside in a week, a day in the week to hear and learn it. We keep this commandment not simply by coming to church on Sunday morning, but making God's word a part of our lives, of the rhythm of our lives. We need daily rest. We need weekly rest. We need to find that rest in Jesus Christ. And how do we do that? We do that through his word. And so Martin Luther in the Small Catechism would write that the meaning of this commandment for us today is this. This means that we should fear and love God so that we do not despise his word or the preaching of it, but consider it to be holy and gladly hear and learn it. Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 to 17 says this, "When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive in Christ. He forgave you all your sins, having canceled the written code with all its regulations that was against us and stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said he was Lord of the Sabbath. He is our Sabbath, and that is a gift from God. Jesus is that gift, and we find real rest in him. And if we want real refreshment, we need to come to him. But don't be like the ancient Israelites, where Jeremiah and Isaiah said, I long to give you rest, and you'd have none of it. We don't want to be that way. We desperately need this rest, and this rest is found in Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is found in the Word of God. So take the Word of God. Let it replenish you. Let it nourish you. Let it draw you closer to Christ. Let it be that source of grace for you in each day. Come to me, Jesus said, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, here in his Word. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, teach us to rest in you. Teach us that Jesus Christ is our rest. For Christians today, it's not a day that is the Sabbath. It is a person. It is Jesus Christ who is our rest. And may we come to him, believe in him, trust in him, submit to him, learn from him, and so find our rest, O Lord. And Father, if there's anyone here today who's just restless because they haven't come to Jesus Christ to find their rest, may they find rest in him today. May they cry out to him, "Lord Jesus, I believe you died for me. I know I'm a sinner. I know I can't strive any longer to try to make myself acceptable. I need your forgiveness. Come and fill me with yourself. Fill me with your true rest. And Father, one day, bring me home to heaven with you, a place of eternal rest, eternal glory. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.